And welcome to another episode of When Push Comes to Shove. Today we are very, very lucky to have with us Sarah Schmidt, and we got Carly today as well. So it's going to be three of us talking. So Sarah, would you like to tell us a bit about yourself and your past and what you've done as a free birther? The floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm 39 years old now. And when I was young, I studied medicine, and I was pregnant with my first one in my last year of medical school. And in Germany, the last year of medical school is basically working in a hospital in different areas. And one area you can choose, so I chose labor and obstetrics, because I was interested in how birth is done in the hospital. And I saw a lot of things that I thought I can imagine giving birth, but not in this environment and under these conditions. It was just everybody else was deciding what had to happen, and the mother didn't have anything to say. And I didn't feel like I wanted to do it this way. So for my first birth, I hired a midwife, a home birth midwife. And she was experienced, and I thought, yeah, everything is fine. The hospital was only 5 minutes away, so in case something happens, everything was safe. And my birth came, and on the day of my birth, my midwife was at another birth and her colleague came, and I barely knew her. Maybe I had seen her two times or something, but I didn't feel comfortable with her. And we just told them the birth is going to be today probably, but nobody has to come. But she came, and it already felt like she's not respecting our wishes. But then she was there, and contractions picked up, and she stayed, and I was like, I'll get through this somehow. But somehow it didn't really work so well. I had labor stalled for a few hours, and it was really painful. And finally, my midwife came, and the baby was born healthy, and everything was fine. But afterwards, I thought a lot about it, and I realized that just the presence of a stranger that I didn't feel comfortable with changed the course of my birth. And so later, when I was pregnant again with my second child, I decided I didn't want to take this risk anymore, having somebody there that disturbs my birth. So in the meantime, we had moved to Sweden, and in Sweden there are almost no home birth at all, and you have to pay it completely yourself. I checked for the next home birth midwife that was close to me, and she was 1 hour away by car. And I was thinking, maybe she doesn't make it to my birth, maybe she doesn't like my plans. I had planned to birth outside, and because I like to be outside, and I can relax nicely when I'm there. It was a forest, we had a house, and I planned to give birth in the forest, and I thought, ha. And in the end, I decided I'm gonna do it on my own, and Even prenatal care, I didn't go to a doctor or anything. I just did it myself because it just felt right. With my first pregnancy, I had been to the doctor and the midwife and had so many checks, and it was always like, we're going to find something that's wrong. And it was always before the appointments, I was nervous, and it took me a few days to recover from these appointments. So I really felt relieved when I decided just to skip all this stuff and do it myself, what I felt maybe I could do or should do. And
Did you have any issues with social services? Did you get reported at all? Because that seems to happen a lot. If you don't follow their guidelines and what they want you to do, they seem to involve social services. That seems to be the story we're hearing in the UK. Did you have any problems there?
I didn't have problems with this. They didn't know I was pregnant, so nobody could bother me. And also in later pregnancies, it was never an issue. Once it was an issue a little bit, because when I was pregnant with the last time with twins, I went to the hospital one time because I was suspecting twins and I wanted a confirmation that they are twins. So I wanted to get an ultrasound. And this doctor sent a state midwife to me to tell me how dangerous it was to birth twins at home, because because he knew that I had given birth to my other babies at home alone, so he felt obligated to send me somebody to tell me they're dangerous. But that was everything. So otherwise they left me, and I had my twins at home too.
We saw the video, and it was incredible. What an amazing birth, and your children coming down when the babies were born. It was just beautiful. I mean, that's, in fact, there is a question I have about that. I'm sure I saw, was it your husband cut the cord without clamping? I really wanted to know. What happened there?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, the cord already looked white, so I thought maybe it had stopped pulsing, but I had not considered that it was so short, that it was so stretched out, that maybe that's why it already looked like the blood flow had stopped. And when we cut it, then there came some blood. Yeah. And until I noticed, maybe 2 minutes or so went by, so yeah, but it stopped anyway, so it was not very beautiful.
Well, it looked beautiful to me. So tell me, what made you decide to journal this in video form? What made you decide to put yourself out there? Because it's so brave of you, because so many people would give you, you know, bad comments, and you get a lot of backlash from this. What made you brave enough to just put yourself out there on the internet for everyone to see?
Yeah, I think every woman deserves a good birth, and I thought it was not fair to just keep it to myself, to have a good birth myself, but every woman has a right to have a good birth. But if they only watch TV and see these births in the hospitals, then, and they've never seen it any other way, then they often don't get this idea themselves, and they should have the chance to decide how they want to birth. And I felt it's just what I should do. And for me, it's not so hard to show myself. I grew up a quite liberal, so to speak. So, and I just thought it's so important, because how we give birth, it influences the whole life, and it can make such a big difference if women have births that empower them instead of make them small and crush their souls. It's such a big difference for the rest of their lives and their babies. And if I can help with my videos, then why shouldn't I do it?
Well, we all thank you for it, Sarah. Yes. I mean, it empowered me, I can tell you that. I mean, I watched your videos over and over again, and I thought, yeah, I can do this. And I've told so many, when every time I have a client, whether they're free birthing or not, I recommend watching all of your channel, because it doesn't matter if they're free birthing. It's about understanding their innate ability to do this. And if you've got a midwife or not, they can take something away from your story, because you've done it so many times, and you make it look effortless. Now, to be honest, when I had her, I thought, oh, that's what Sarah's births are about, because I didn't find it really painful. I just found it intense, and nothing like my first birth, which was excruciating, you know, the hospital process, and I was in fight or flight because of all the adrenaline my body was releasing. How could I possibly have a peaceful, beautiful birth when I've got strangers, bright lights, being observed, people touching me in my vagina, strangers, and I was led to believe that's normal. That's crazy, right? And you can say no, please don't touch me there, you know. I mean, that's just basic, surely. But after watching your channel, I was just like, wow, I was so impressed that you put it out there for the world to see. And I thought, yeah, I can do this. And you've got 50,000 followers. I'm sure you've inspired thousands and countless women. So thank you for your gift. We think you're incredible. And I'm really impressed that you've got the bravery to do this, because you must have a lot of people saying negative things, surely.
Yeah. Until I shut off the comments, because it was just annoying at some point.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did you deal with the negativity? But you've clearly just stopped the comments, right?
Yeah, in the beginning, I didn't read the comments often. And when I felt like I can deal with stuff, then I read the comments. But after a while, it just kept repeating itself. The stupid comments kept repeating itself. And it was like, some people just wanted to bash on me, and I just turned off the comments. And yeah,
very wise. You don't need that negativity. But I think, you know, if a lot of women will be on a position of fear still, because they've had years of indoctrination that birth is inherently dangerous. And while we accept sometimes things go wrong, we also have to accept the reasons why they usually go wrong. So what would you say to women who are still very scared that birth is a dangerous thing? What would you say?
For me, it was most important to inform myself on my own, not just what some doctor tells me, because often it's the doctors that bring the fear in it. It's the doctors. The woman goes to the doctor her whole pregnancy, and every time she goes there, it's fear. And she takes the fear. And in the end, when it comes to birth, she's full of fear about the whole process. She's always told, we have to control everything or something will go really wrong. And this is the opposite of trusting the process. And so for me, it was best not to go to any prenatal care checkups at the doctor, because it just kept me at the peace that I felt. And I didn't allow anybody to talk negativity and fear into my pregnancy. And it was really the most important thing, to not allow this, because you don't have to go there. There's no law that makes you go to the doctor when you're pregnant. You are not sick usually. And if you keep yourself healthy, and then you won't need a doctor, because you're just healthy and pregnant. So you can skip this part, and you can skip the fear. And if you have fears yourself, then of course it's important to do your own research about what am I I'm afraid about. What am I afraid about that maybe the baby has the cord around the neck or is not breathing? So what can I do? Is it really dangerous that the baby has the cord around the neck or not? That's the first question. Is my fear really based on facts, or is it just because somebody told me? And then if it's based on facts that the cord around the neck is not dangerous in itself, then you don't have to be afraid of it. And yeah, then you maybe want to find out, what do you do when the cord is around the neck? Do you unwrap it or not? What's better to do? And so you just do your research, so you know how to handle certain situations. And that's what basically brought me out of fear and put me on a solid foundation of knowledge. What can I do in certain situations?
Sure. And you're lucky you've got the medical background as well. But I think from watching your births, there was no logic about it. It was just very instinctual. You knew what to do. You didn't spend time up here.
No.
Very, very base, weren't you? I mean, it was beautiful to watch. I mean, do you have a favorite birth? Do you have a birth that you look back on in particular and go, wow, that was incredible?
Oh, that's hard to say, because every birth was special. And I especially like the birth outside in the garden when it was warm, because it was such a beautiful day. And it was just like I had imagined. I hadn't imagined that he would drop on the grass, no? But otherwise it was just perfect. Because I like to be outside, and I like to look into the sky, and it just makes me relax. And
it's a real fairy tale, your births. They are wonderful. Would you describe your births as painful at all?
I had birth number four was more painful than, so birth number four, the birth number one with the midwives was the most painful. But quite painful was also birth number four. But
was
the others
in a difficult position?
Hmm?
Was your baby in a difficult position with birth?
No, no, I'm not quite sure. I think my pelvis was not very well aligned at that time, because I had problems with tensions and with my jaw, and I had when I was pregnant with her, I translated a book, so I was sitting a lot, and so I was not in the best physical shape, I think, and I think that made it a little more uncomfortable.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Carly, have you got any questions? Because I've got loads flying around my head and I'm trying to get them out as and when I'm feeling them. But there's just so much we can talk about. And yeah, Carly, is there anything you want to ask?
I just wanted to go back to the twin birth, because the second twin had the cord around the neck. Is that correct? And
yeah,
your husband was just amazing. Just very quickly, he did that. And yeah, that was amazing. I just wanted to put that out there, like your husband was so hands-on, and obviously he's had some practice, as you know, that wasn't your first free home birth. But how did he feel about you wanting to birth like this in the beginning? Was that something he was on board with straight away, or was it a little convincing?
With my first unassisted birth, he was like, it took a few weeks and months until he was like, yeah, okay, do what you want. But I could feel that he was not, he had his fears from the first birth, and I had them too, because in the first birth, I had the labor stalled for a few hours and the head hadn't really turned in the right position, and the midwives were talking about maybe we have to go to the hospital to get a C-section if the baby doesn't turn right. And so before the second birth, I had these fears it could happen again, and he had the same thoughts. So but after the first birth, the first free birth, when he saw that everything went fine and I just did it, then he trusted for the next birth. So he had no reservations anymore.
What was your quickest labor?
My quickest labor, I think it was the second free birth and baby number three. Mm-hmm. So it took maybe until I realized that birth was happening and until he was born, I think it was 1 hour or so.
Wow.
So because because all my other babies, they are born after their due date. And he was born exactly on the due date, and I just didn't expect this to happen so quickly. So I thought, no, it's just Braxton Hicks or something like that. And we hadn't found the time to take pictures of my belly. And so we wanted to take pictures. And then when I felt, oh, contractions are picking up, we have to take pictures now. So we set up lamps and lightning. So we took maybe three pictures, and at the end of the third picture, I had the first contraction that felt like pushing. So I at that moment I realized, okay, now it's over. Baby is gonna come.
I thought my baby was quick. She was 3 hours from when I felt a very, very strong contraction, but I wasn't expecting it, because my first baby was 12 years ago. So I thought my body's never done this before naturally, because I was induced for my first baby and I was in labor, established labor, for 23 hours and 20 minutes. So I assumed, or maybe it's going to go on a lot longer. My body can't remember what's going on. It's been such a long time, but I was clearly very relaxed, because she popped out very quickly and she came out like Superwoman compound. It was lovely. How did you find your twin birth? Was it very different to your other births?
I found it very easy. So I think it was one of my easiest births. I didn't feel this transition like I usually feel with singletons. I think because they were so small. That's my explanation. And just at some point, I had two friends who were filming and taking photos, and we chatted during in between contractions. And so I said, usually when I start pushing, I like to support myself left and right and like this. And while I was saying this, I was showing them how I would do it. And then I got the first pushing contraction, and I hadn't really anticipated that it would just be this far, because I didn't feel any of this that usually I feel before, that you feel like shaky and you feel like you are at the edge and you can't bear it anymore. It was like nothing of this transitioning stuff. So
yeah, that was the only part I found painful, was transition. I was like, oh god, I can't do this anymore. But then before you know it, you start involuntary pushing. But that's amazing that you didn't feel that with the twins. That's incredible. But yeah, it might be down to their size, who knows.
Well, yeah, it's usually just a short time period where I feel transition. But in this birth, I didn't feel it at all. So I would prefer to have twins again, to do the twin birth again. But the part after that, I would still like just one, because it's just double the work.
Do you want any more children?
Maybe in a year or so.
Wow.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they grow up so fast, and as soon as I start getting more free time, I start missing it, and then I think about another one.
Aww. So what are you doing at the moment? What are you doing work-wise? Are you, like, you're obviously on YouTube all the time, and like, are you writing anything? Tell us what you're doing right now. Anything that we can go to buy, or any books coming up?
I don't really have much time to do anything right now, because they still keep me so busy. So I just do a video here and there, and I have my groups on Facebook and Telegram that I have to maintain. And
yeah, well, I mean, all that is just, I love watching your channel. It's not just about birth, it's everything. And you're so informative. And I hope more people will come and see your channel. I mean, you've got a lot of followers, but it'd be nice if the mainstream start to catch on to your ideas. It's just very basic, isn't it? It's like being what it is to be human, and to listen to your body and every aspect in life. It's a beautiful way to think, and hopefully more people will start to see that it's not a scary, inherently dangerous process. And hopefully we can start to educate people that your body will work perfectly well. It's so unlikely something will go wrong. And I say that in inverted commas, because you know, it hardly ever happens.
Yeah, and it's just a lie. It's just a lie that society plants in women's heads, and they go with it, and it makes so much pain, and there's so much that is not necessary to suffer. Mm. And just because of a lie,
it's not necessary. And you know, I was watching a good series last night, which I really love, but then the childbirth aspect came into it, and of Hollywood being Hollywood, I was like, oh, for God's sake. push, I was like,
oh yeah, I cannot watch this.
And all, like, the mums, like, there was a scene where this woman's at a baby shower, and her friends are going, you're gonna tear from hole to hole, they're gonna cut you, they're gonna do this. I'm like, no wonder people think it's dangerous, when that is the mainstream narrative. What you do should be the mainstream narrative. But I have noticed any clients of mine that just surround themselves with stories like yours, they don't have a problem. That's what I've noticed so far anyway. I mean, if you just assume your body's going to do its job, like you assume that you're able to sleep at night, you assume you can cough, you assume you can sneeze, you don't stop to go, how do I do this? If you just tune into your primal, into your base, it's very simple. And it is good. I mean, there's a lot of people that it's free birth isn't for them. And right now, there's a lot of free birth happening because they feel like they have no choice, and no choice is not a choice. You know, choosing a COVID hospital or free birth, that's not an option. That's why we need independent midwives, and we need people to be able to support, because not everyone wants to do that alone. And I understand that, but to take women's choices away from them we're not doing home births anymore because of COVID, or you can't have a home birth because you're high risk. That's not a choice.
No, exactly.
So that's our message. Anyway, we need to get that across, that you do indeed have a choice. And you can ask to read their guidelines. You can ask to see evidence-based information. It's not, you're not on trial. It's not up to you to say my body works well. It's up to them to prove it doesn't. Yeah. That's what I think. So Carly, have you got anything you want to add? Any more questions?
I just want to thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing your births. I watched them last night with my daughter. She's 5 years old, and she was just amazed and in awe. And I think it's so important what you've done. And to thank you for everyone's daughters and for everyone who is going to give birth to have the chance to see a birth like yours. Because even as doulas, we don't get to see births like that all of the time. And it's such a learning experience, and it's so beautiful. And I really, really, really thank you for sharing that with everybody through your channel. And I hope everybody goes and watches Sarah's births, because they're just amazing.
Yeah, it's, you can't miss it. It's fabulous. I mean, talk about awe-inspiring. It will fill you with confidence. So everyone, go to Sarah's channel. I will put it in the description below. And Sarah, I'm sure you're going to upload this on your channel too. So yeah, when push comes to shove, we are delighted to have you. So thank you very, very much for your time. And we can't thank you enough for everything you do for women everywhere. So we'd love to have you back in the future if you'd like to come back.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.